What is the longest you have ever had to wait for something? Think about it. Think about what that time where you were just waiting and waiting and waiting. Maybe it was somebody who was supposed to pick you up for a date, and you were waiting and waiting, and they never showed up. Maybe it was like when you were a little kid. Do you remember being a little kid, like a little kid? And I don't know about you, my parents always would wrap the presents well before Christmas. And so they would be under the tree and you could see them. Do you remember sitting in that room kind of looking and trying to figure out exactly what things were? I always used to chuckle because like one year I remember I had a basketball. I don't know if you remember how basketballs used to be packaged. I don't know if they're that way anymore. But like only half of the basketball would actually be in a box and the whole front would be out. You ever tried to wrap that and make it look like something else? Well, my parents were not very good at that. So I knew, like, yeah, that's a basketball. And I couldn't wait to get that. And just different things like that. And you remember that. And oftentimes, the waiting was exciting because you knew something good was coming. But then there's the other part of it where you were maybe waiting for something to fix something or to correct something or to make it right, or you're waiting on a person to make the changes that they need to make to get their life right, or you're waiting on that promotion that you know you're supposed to have, but it just never, ever comes, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. Anyone else like me not very good at waiting? Anyone not very good at waiting? Okay, good, because I stink at waiting. I am not a patient human being. At all, in any way, shape, or form. In fact, I'm going to be very honest with you. This week, I had a very, very hard time. Tracy and I were out together. We were doing something, and we got to the front of the store to pay, and there was like six lines that were open, which that in and of itself is a Christmas miracle, right? That there were that many lines open, and I'm looking. Now, granted, I'm 6'2", almost 6'3". Tracy's not 5 foot tall, so she's 4'11 and three quarters. Is she in here? She's not in here. She'll hear about it later. 4'11 and three quarters. And so I can see that there was one line that is kind of open, and I start to move there, but she moves with the cart in the opposite direction. I'm like, no, no, you got to come over here. But it was too late because she got in line. And I got to tell you, if you're a cashier, especially around Christmas time, you got a long line, don't ask people their life stories. You ever been in that line? And you're like, listen, just ring it up, sucker. Okay, come on. I am ready. Because I am not a patient individual. I have no patience when it comes to things like that. I have had to learn how to be patient. And by the way, can I give you a tip? Because I've heard some of you like, man, I've been praying that God would give me patience. Do you know how stupid that is? No, seriously. Because how do you learn patience? You learn patience by having to be patient. Do you know what God does when you go, God, I really want to learn patience? Do you know what he does? He brings annoying people into your life that you have to learn to be patient with. So waiting, for the most part, is not something that is really great, right, when we think about it. But I want to share with you something. Waiting is actually a part of how God works. God desires to create times of waiting in our lives because God's doing things in those waiting. But at the same time, in the waiting, God is creating an anticipation, an expectation. He's waiting for things to line up perfectly so that he can do what he's going to do. Now, we're talking about Christmas, right? So let's talk about that for just a second. Isaiah, Old Testament. Isaiah is a prophet in the Old Testament. He wrote the book of Isaiah around 609 to 640 A.D., BC. So 600 or so years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And so we look at this, and Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the prophet Isaiah speaks these words. And probably if you're starting to get Christmas cards, which most of you are, you probably have a Christmas card with this verse on it. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him what? Emmanuel. Now, it's spelled different ways. Sometimes it's with an I, sometimes it's with an E. It all means the exact same thing, God with us. That's what the word, that's what the name Emmanuel means, God with us. So all the way back in Isaiah 7, God says, listen, here's how I'm going to do it. There's going to be a woman who has never been with a man. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and the creation that I did in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, where I give you the insight of how I created men and women, I'm going to use the same power to create life within this virgin. And I am not just going to create a life, I'm going to create the life, and that is Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, and he's going to come and be fully God and fully man. And through that, I am going to bring salvation to the earth. Now, Israel at this point in time, he was the prophet to Israel. Israel at this point in time was in a hot mess. I mean, they were going through regime changes after issues and all these problems. That's why God sent Isaiah. And so God, through Isaiah, says, hey, listen, pretty soon I am going to send my son and he is going to fix everything. Now, if you receive that message from God, wouldn't you be like, yes, this is great, awesome, and that generation dies off and nothing happens. Then their kids are like, well, mom and dad said, and that generation dies off. And the next generation comes up and goes, you know what, well, grandpa said, and mom and dad were like, well, maybe, and then that generation dies off and nothing has happened for 600 and roughly 15 to 45, somewhere in there, years, the entire nation of Israel waited. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never waited that long. I don't like, listen, okay, truth moment here, okay? When I'm drinking coffee and my coffee gets a little cool and I put it in the microwave, because that's what you do if you really love coffee and you love Jesus, you put it back in the microwave. And I hit the immediate button, right? It's the 30-second button just to heat it up for 30 seconds. I stand there, and I kid you not, I go, because I want it to hurry up. 600 years until Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 24 take place. It's the pronouncement of the promise given 600 and some odd years earlier. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said 600 years ago through the prophet: a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so Joseph woke up, and he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took home Mary to be his wife. Now, waiting is never anything that I have ever rejoiced over in my entire life. I don't know about you. Some of you may be great waiters. Like you can be patient with no issues. You have no problems. See, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, this is not biblical, this is not from God. In my opinion, if you can wait like that, you have no drive. That's my opinion. But like, seriously, can you imagine that? I want you to think about this. Put yourself in the shoes of the people who first received that message. When they heard from God, listen, y'all, don't worry. I've got it covered. I'm going to take care of it. And yet, nothing happened in their life, the lives of their kids, their grandkids, their great-great-grandkids, their great-great-great-great. We could go on. For 600 years, nothing happened. How, in the middle of the waiting, can you have the peace of God when you're not really sure that God's going to come through with what he said he's going to come through with? Can you imagine the doubt that these people had after 50 years? 100 years? And yet, God says, listen, waiting is a part of my plan. So why in the world would God make his people, right? The people of Israel, he said, those are my people, my chosen people, why would he make them wait 600 years to fulfill a promise that he gave them? Well, Galatians chapter 4 gives us a little insight. And it says this, but when the what? Right time came. But when the right time came, God sent his son to be born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. So here is the big idea, the big truth, if you want to talk about it. Everything else that we're going to talk about this morning hangs off of this. And here's what it is. While you're waiting, God is working. While you're waiting, God is working. You know what's amazing? Is Isaiah chapter 7 takes place, 610 to 640, somewhere around there, B.C. But he wasn't the last prophet of Israel. In fact, God gave other prophets after that, and God did other things in the nation of Israel after that, and God was continuing to do these things. And when we read Matthew chapter 1 and we read Luke chapter 1, we see the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and we see how through that 600 years, God was working and making things happen and bringing people up and bringing people through and making all these things happen so that when God's timing was perfect and when everything was ready, that is when God moved. And when God moved, it changed everything, because now no longer is it just the children of Israel who can know God. Now it's anyone who would receive Jesus Christ. And so here's the thing I want to tell you this morning, because some of you may be waiting. I remember a guy used to say, waiting with bated breath. I never really knew what that meant. I thought maybe it was just people that didn't brush their teeth. But maybe you are waiting this morning with bated breath. You're like, come on. I want to remind you of this. Just because you're waiting doesn't mean God's not working. And in the waiting, the most important thing that you can do is to pray that God would give you the right things to do, the right steps to take, so that when the time is right, you're ready. Now, you're like, well, that sounds great, Dave. I still don't like to wait. So, I want to share with you two truths that will help, or at least they helped me. They've helped me in the past. Hopefully, they'll help you to be able to find peace in the waiting. So, here's truth number one, okay? So, we know that while we're waiting, God's working. So here's truth number one to help us just be able to rest or find peace in the waiting. God's slowness is not necessarily God's no-ness. Now, some of you are like, is that a real word? Nope, I just made it up. God's slowness is not necessarily God's no-ness. Now, here's the thing. You're like, why did you even use that word? Because it rhymes and you'll remember it forever. God's slowness is not necessarily God's no-ness. Now, why do we say that? Because when things don't happen immediately, what is our first thought? I guess it's not going to work out. I guess it's not going to happen. If we wait a whole long time. Like, we wait like an entire 24 hours for God to answer us. It doesn't happen. We're like, I guess it doesn't work out. Here's the thing. If God waited 600 and some odd years to fulfill the promise of the one who would redeem the world, then there may be some time between your God, I need this, and God providing it. And oftentimes, like we said, the waiting time is not necessarily because God isn't ready. It's because you're not ready. Because we're not ready. And so when we understand that, we go, okay, God, this is what I believe needs to happen. God, this is what I need you to do in my life. And I lay it out, and we recognize that God is not slow the way that we think God is slow. God is perfect in his timing. He is never late, and he is never early. And so God's slowness is not necessarily God saying no, but he may be getting you ready for something better than what you even planned for in the first place. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, says, for since the world began, no ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who what? I love Isaiah. I love the fact that this passage is also in Isaiah because I think God says to Isaiah, I'm going to give you this prophecy. Notice Isaiah 7 is a whole lot further away from Isaiah 64. So it's near the end of the book. There's 66 chapters in Isaiah. I really feel, again, my opinion, I really feel God's like, hey, Isaiah, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to let everybody know that it's going to be a little while and that I'm going to work through those who wait on me because it's going to be like 600 years, dude, before I make this promise fulfilled. And Isaiah's like, okay, how do I write that? God is desiring to do great things in you and through you. But sometimes it's the wait that's necessary. Now, if I said that and you thought to yourself, woohoo, yay, you are not like anyone else in this room. Because we don't like to wait. But God is working while we're waiting. And just because God is moving slow does not mean that God isn't working or God has said no. In fact, as we read the Bible, do you realize how often our patience is pinned to God's promise? Look at this, James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. And I want you, do me a favor, get your pen out if you have your pen, if you're taking notes. And I want you, as we go through it, underline or circle every time you see the word patient. You ready? Be patient. That's the first one. I'll give you the first one for free. Here we go. Be patient then, my friends, until the Lord comes. See how patient farmers are as they wait for their land to produce precious crops. They wait patiently for the autumn and the spring rains. You must also be patient. Keep your hopes high, for the day of the Lord is coming near. In just a few verses, James says the word patient or a derivative of the word patient four times. He's trying to get a point across to us that God wants to bless us. God wants to do things through us. I love the analogy that he gives. I don't know how many of you are gardeners. You've got a gardener. You consider yourself a micro farmer or whatever. But if you plant a seed, you don't go out the next morning and go, well, I guess it didn't work. Why? Because it takes time. In fact, I remember years and years and years ago, I was hunting, and I walked up upon this tree, and it looked like it was a green apple tree. It was not a green apple tree. It was a tree that had not yet ripened. And so I grabbed this apple because I thought, cool, an apple while I'm hunting. How much fun is that? I bit into that. My mouth puckered so hard. Have you ever eaten a fruit that wasn't ripe? It is a heart, he's like, right? God is waiting for the fruit, whatever it is, to ripen in your life before he gives it to you. And so patience is often tied to God's promise and God's blessing. Patience is something that we need to work on. But you know what I love? God says, I need you to be patient. But at the same time, God goes, I know that you are not patient individuals. And so part of the Spirit's work in our life is patience that he gives us. Psalm 37 gives us a touch of a different perspective, something just to kind of last little layer on this part of the truth. Because sometimes in the waiting, you begin to look around at other people, right? And while God is telling you to wait for the promise to be revealed, you see other people getting what you would consider blessings and promotions and relationships. And you're like, they're not even doing it right, God. Why are they getting blessed? Maybe they're even being disobedient. They're not doing it the way that God called it. They're being sinful. Their attitude is wrong. All these different things. You're like, man, why are they getting blessed? And I am not. Why do I have to wait? And there's a great verse, and David writes it. It's in the book of Psalms. And I want you to see, again, there's this. It's not patient this time. It's a little different word. He says, be still. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. fret not yourself. Fret's not a word we use a lot anymore, right? It's kind of an old word. But I love that. Fret not yourself. Some of us are fantastic fretters. Not fritters, but fretters. We just fret, right? And isn't fret one of those words that when you say it, you get a picture in your mind? Like a, right? It's like a little chihuahua sitting on the couch. Like, we just fret ourselves all the time. And we get all messed up and all twisted. And we twist ourselves in knots. And the writer says, listen, be still before God. God's got it. Be patient in waiting. Don't get yourself all worked up and be fretting about things that you can't control. Instead, understand that the one who prospers in his way over the man who carries out evil devices. He says, listen, we can start looking around and we can see people who are doing it the wrong way. And we think in our mind, they're being blessed, I'm not, I have to wait. He says, listen, that's not what it is. God is working, God is doing things, you can look at those things, but maybe the only thing they're ever going to have in their life is that promotion. That's their total blessing. And God's going, man, I got a whole lot more for you. Maybe the money is the only thing they're going to have. Maybe that relationship is the only thing they're going to have. That is their blessing, that's it. That's the only thing they're going to have in this entire world that's going to go right for them. So stop worrying about what other people have and trust that the promise of God, as you wait patiently, will be brought to fruition in your life. Because God's slowness is not necessarily God's knowness. So while we're waiting, God's working. That God's slowness is not necessarily God's knowness. And truth number two, just because God is silent doesn't mean God is distant. Just because God is silent doesn't mean God is distant. If you have ever, in your heart or in your mind or out loud in your prayer time, said the words, where are you, God? You are a part of the vast majority of people who know Jesus Christ. Because there are times in your life when you feel like God is distant or maybe even absent in what is going on in your situation. David, all throughout the Psalms, would begin a psalm that way. God, where are you? God, where are you? God, where are you? God, where are you? Because we can't see God. God is spirit. We can only see God working. And if we don't see God working, we believe that God is therefore absent, even though he may be working behind the scenes to bring about his glory and for our benefit. And we know mentally that that's there, but emotionally, we want to hear from God. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So I want to tell you something this morning. If you feel like God is distant, or you feel like God is absent, that is a feeling. And if you've been here at any length of time, you know the truth. Feelings do what? Feelings lie. They lie to us all the time. And we get sucked into those things. And we get wrapped up in those things. And we allow them to scream louder than anything else in our life that this is true. God is absent. God doesn't care about you anymore. God is distant. God's punishing you. God's doing this. God's doing that. And we believe all of it. We let all of that noise scream so loud that we can't hear the still, small voice of God. If you feel that there is distance between you and God, it isn't because God has moved. It's because you have. God didn't run away from you. God's not going, boy, this person's an idiot. I just can't deal with them anymore. That's not God. In fact, we're told all throughout Scripture that whenever we are hurting the most, that is when God is the closest. That's when he's the closest. that you may not hear him and you may not feel him, but it's not because God is absent. It's not because God is silent. It is because you have so much stuff going on in your life that you can neither hear God nor feel him because you are obsessed with that which is swirling around you. So what needs to happen, what needs to take place is a change. We need to settle and begin to move back to where we were. James chapter 4, verse 8 tells us a really powerful truth. You've probably read this before, but maybe you've never figured it out this way. Listen to what it says. It says, draw near to God, and he will what? Draw near to you. I want you to picture this. Maybe you have walked so far away from God. Like you were like, man, I am on the other continent of where God is. And I am doing my own thing. I'm living my own way. I'm doing it the way I want to. And you know what? I'm happy. That's what we tell ourselves, right? And then we begin to allow the world to percolate in the silence. Isn't it amazing how difficult it is to sit in silence because our mind starts to tell us things that are actually true? Like, you're not really happy. You're not really enjoying this. You actually are pretty miserable right now. No, I'm not. I've got everything I want. And then you realize, you know what? I am really, really far from God. Now, how right would it be for God all the way back over here to go, that's right, sucker. Come on all the way back. I'm standing right here. Come on. But that's not what he does, is it? What does it say? Draw near to God and he will what? Draw near to us. Isn't that amazing? So here's all we have to do. It's not like we have to traverse the entire terrain all the way back to God. No, God says, listen, draw near to me. So that means this. And God goes, boom, here I am. God is not the one running away from you. God is not the one who is pushing you into a corner and going, well, I hope you figure this all out. Maybe the very reason that you can't hear God or that you can't see God is that you've got too many things, too many people, too much stuff that's crowding out the voice of God. Your choices, your actions, your behavior have literally shut the door in the face of God. But here's what's great. We have such a loving God. Listen to what he says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 4. Jesus Christ is talking and he says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. See, God is not vindictive towards like, you know what? You've just screwed up too much. So I'm going to make you go back all through this stuff just to come back and be able to enjoy me. No, he's like, hey, I'm right here. Just open the door. And this passage is often used, right, for people that don't know Jesus and they're taking that first step of salvation to get with God and to be able to take that and allow Jesus Christ to come into their life. Do you know that that is not the context of this verse at all? This verse is part of the seven churches of Revelation, and there are people that already know Jesus Christ, but because of their behavior and the attitudes and the conditions and the crowding out of God in their life, they have lost that connection with Jesus. And so the Bible says, Jesus goes, listen, I'm standing right here. I've not run away from you. I'm not apart from you. I'm not absent. I am right here. All you have to do is open the door, and we can reconnect. So last thought. We believe that we're waiting on God. We've kind of seen that the waiting isn't for God's purpose, it's for ours. So what if what's actually going on is that the God that you're waiting for is actually just waiting for you? What if the God that you're waiting for, or you're waiting on, you're going, God, come on, God, fix this, is actually just waiting for you to take that step, to open the door, turn around, to be still, to listen, to lean in. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 Peter, who was the best buddy, if you will, of Jesus Christ. He loved Jesus. And I want you to hear the way that he writes this and feel kind of the emotions of it, okay? Because you can almost hear Peter objecting to people going, man, God is so slow in doing these. He's like, no. You need to understand that God is not slow in keeping his promises, at least the way that we understand slowness. Instead, and here's the twist, he is what? Patient with you. See, we've been talking about how we need to be patient. That's totally true. We need to be patient. We need to wait. We need to be still. We need to understand in the waiting that God is working. We need to understand that even though God is slow, he's not necessarily saying no. That when we understand that God is working in the waiting, we can realize that God is not absent and he is not silent. He's just working. And maybe we've got other stuff we need to deal through before we can actually receive the things that God has for us. But Peter's like, listen, you need to understand that God is being patient with you. He's actually waiting for you, not wanting anyone to perish, but instead wanting everyone to come to repentance. Do you realize that God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, they are not in the exclusion business. They're not. They want everyone. Doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter what you look like, doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now. The Bible says that God desires for all to come, there's a catch, right? To repentance. You know what that word repentance means? If you grew up in the church, but you're like, oh yeah, I remember repentance. If you grew up in the South, repentance was like, had like 17 syllables, right? Repentance. You know what that word means? To change direction. That's all it means. So you are far from God. God says, draw near to me and I will... God's desiring a change of direction in your life. Instead of doing things your way, you begin to do it God's way. Do you need to come back to God? Have you been running, doing things your own way, following your own path? Draw near to God this morning. He will show right up. He will be right there. Maybe you're not hearing God's voice. You've got all these things screaming for attention. Then be still. Be still and know that he is God. Allow the competing voices and the thoughts and the agenda to fade. Let the voice of God whisper into your soul and fill you with peace in the waiting. Because while you're waiting, God is working. He's not going, well, I hope you guys get it all figured out because you've sure made a mess of things down there. God's working. Question is, are you willing to wait for him? Are you willing to step towards him? Are you willing to be still and hear his voice? Because when you do that, that, my friend, is when you find peace even in the waiting. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you. God, I can't even believe I'm saying this, but I thank you for the waiting because, God, it's the waiting that perfects us. It's the waiting that grows us. It's the waiting that causes us to become stronger and more resilient. It's the waiting that prepares us and shapes us and changes us so that we can receive everything that you have for us. And God, I pray for those that are here today who already know your son, Jesus Christ, but they have drifted, walked, wandered, run maybe away from you, and there is a great distance between you and them, but it's not because you walked away. It's because they did. And God, I pray that this morning, for those that are here today that need to take that step back to you, that just in the quietness of this moment, they would do that. They would pray something as simple as this: Dear God, I'm ready to come back. And God, we know your word tells us so powerfully that when we take that step, there you are. You don't make us go through everything. You don't make us traverse the whole path all the way back to you. God, you're there. We just need to turn around to repent. God, for those this morning who maybe they've never, ever, ever taken that step of faith and believed in Jesus Christ, I pray that this morning would be the time. So this morning, if you're like, hey, you know, this whole Jesus thing is kind of new. First time I'm really figuring this whole thing out. I'm going to ask you right where you are. You don't need to move. You don't need to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you right where you are to just talk to God, you and him, in your mind and your heart. He hears you, and he's ready to receive you. All you got to say is like, Dear God, I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for my sins. I'm ready. I'm ready to live my life, to change my direction. I don't understand it all, but I know you're good, and I believe in you, and I desire to follow you. Father, we thank you for those that took that step of faith this morning. God, I pray you'd encourage them, and you'd grow them up, and you'd help them become all that you've called them to be, and they would understand that maybe the process of waiting that they've been going through is shaping who they are so that they can become who you've called them to be. God, we thank you so much for the gift of Jesus Christ and the peace that goes beyond our ability to comprehend in the midst of trouble. We thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.